Welcome to Verse by Verse, an English Bible study program that takes you through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book. I'm your host, Brenton Powers. I believe that every word of every verse of the Bible is inspired by God. I believe that the Word of God is useful for equipping the people of God for the work of God. We must go. Today we're going to continue our study of the letter of Jude, contending for what the true faith is. In context, Jude has been telling us why we need to contend for the faith. Today we'll study Jude verse 14 and 15, and this is the final reason about why we should contend for the faith. So let's read Jude 14 and 15. It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones, to execute judgment on all, and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Did you notice how many times he used the word ungodly there? 4 times in just 2 verses. That tells you one big clue about what the false teachers are. They're ungodly. So let's look closer at Jude verse 14 and 15 to see what we can learn about the future judgment of the ungodly when Jesus returns. Jude says, "It was about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied." Do you remember Enoch? He was a historical person who was born 7 generations after Adam and mentioned in Hebrews 11. And it says in Genesis chapter 5 that he walked with God and he pleased God, and therefore God took him up to heaven. He didn't die. He's one of 2 people in the Bible that didn't die. The other one would be Elijah. And Jude here will give us a prophecy spoken by Enoch, but this prophecy isn't recorded in Genesis chapter 5. So for some people, this poses a problem. How can Jude quote from a book that's not in the Hebrew Bible and say this is a prophecy from God? Well, he's not saying that the book of Enoch says this. He's saying Enoch himself says this. So he's not validating the whole book of Enoch as inspired doctrine. It doesn't belong in the canon. But what he does say is that this prophecy is in accordance with the truth. And Jude, as an inspired writer, he's able to give the commentary on the scriptural Enoch, and the Lord tells him what he did say. The ancient book of Enoch was not received as scripture, but it was highly respected among both Jews and early Christians. Just as Paul would reference sometimes the audience of the Greeks, and he'd say, "Some of your own poets say, 'In him we live and move and have our being.'" This is true, but that doesn't validate all of the poets of the Greek and Roman culture. So as we look at the prophecy of Enoch, we see that it's very similar with the rest of Bible prophecy about end times. And so let me talk to you today a little bit about end times prophecy. This is a big theme in the Bible. Some have estimated that 1/5 of our Bible is actually prophetic. A lot of it has been fulfilled in Jesus' first coming, but there's still many prophecies that are yet unfulfilled that will be fulfilled. And this is one of them, because it refers to a time of the future, the time of the end. Enoch's prophecy goes like this: "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This quotation is a prophecy about what will happen in the end to these false teachers. Jude is saying we should contend for the faith because these false teachers that are coming into the church and these non-Christians, they're the ones that are going to be judged by Jesus when he returns. Notice he says, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones." We see this in Revelation 17:14. "They will make war on the Lamb, and the Lamb will conquer them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him are called chosen and faithful." Notice, who is this? The Lamb of God. It's Jesus, who John identified, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Well, in his first coming, he came as a gentle lamb, but in his second coming, he comes as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And notice who he's coming with. "And those with him are called and chosen and faithful." Who is that, beloved? Isn't that what Jude said in the beginning of his letter? Those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. That's Christians. They're called, chosen, and faithful. Those are the saints that's going to come with Jesus. So in Enoch's prophecy, he's saying that Jesus is going to return with his church. You know, church, one of the great things we have to look forward to is reigning with Christ for 1,000 years on earth. And it's Christ who's going to lead the charge when he returns to the earth. Those who have believed in him in this life will be with him after death or after the rapture, and we will rule and reign with him. As Paul promised to Timothy, if we die with him, we will reign with him. If we suffer for him, we will reign with him. There's a future kingdom literally coming upon the earth. Jesus will set his foot down on Mount Zion, and he will reign from there. This has not yet been fulfilled. But what Jude is saying here is that when Jesus comes back to the earth in the second coming, he will come to judge those who rebelled against him. See, he's giving them lots of time to repent, isn't he? It's been 2,000 years already. But for those who will not repent, those who will not humble themselves to God but are fighting against God, he's not going to let that last forever. He's going to make an end to all the kingdoms of this earth, and the kingdoms of this earth are going to become the kingdoms of our God. Jesus comes in his second coming as the conquering king. Revelation 19:11 through 16. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. That would be Jesus. In his righteousness, he judges and makes war. This is speaking about the future second coming. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. This is Jesus. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Who's that? The armies of heaven. That would be the saints that Jude's talking about, tens of thousands of servants. There will be a huge multitude that comes back with Jesus. They're called here the armies of heaven. Well, that's going to be an exciting day, isn't it? When us Christians are following Jesus on white horses, we're really not going to get involved in the battle. It's going to be him that wins the battle. Because watch what happens in Revelation 19:15. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My friends, that's the future, according to God's word. And Enoch prophesies about this event, but he's directing this judgment against these false teachers that have come into the church. This gives us, therefore, a strong reason to stand up for what the faith is, because Jesus is against heretics. He is against false teachers. He is against the ungodly. He's giving them time to repent now. And so the way that we contend for the faith is not by starting a crusade or burning heretics at the stake, but our commission is to preach the gospel, to make the enemies of God into friends of God by telling them how to be reconciled to God. Today is the day of salvation. Our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation, not of judgment. But we are to affirm that judgment will come from the Lord. We are not to repay evil for evil, but blessings. Our job as a church is not to take up the sword, but it's to follow Jesus. He is the judge, as Jude says. Let's look at Jude verse 15 to find out what is the Lord going to do when he comes. First, to execute judgment on all. What is Jesus coming to do? To judge. He's going to judge all, the living and the dead, the righteous, the unrighteous, Christians and non-Christians. And his judgment will be fair. To some, his judgment will be heaven. To some, it will be hell. Now, there are not good people, technically. The Bible says no one is good, no, not one. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. But for those who turn from their sins and put their faith in Jesus Christ, there's justification, forgiveness, and salvation from the sins that you've committed. So Jesus paid for those sins already on the cross. Therefore, we will not have to pay for those sins again. He will judge us, Christians, according to what we've done for his glory, and we will be rewarded for that. Our giving, our fasting, our praying that we've done in secret, Jesus said, will be rewarded. But for those who have not received forgiveness for their sins, they're going to have to pay themselves for their sins. And God's judgment will be just. The punishment fits the crime. Sinning against an eternal God for your lifetime earns for you an eternal judgment. And that's why the Lord comes to judge, because he is just. But notice it says, to convict the ungodly. The ungodly is a title. He calls these people as if it's their character. Ungodly. And what makes a person ungodly? Well, Jude says there's two things. It's their deeds and their words, doing and saying things that are against God. Notice he says to convict all the ungodly, first of all their deeds of ungodliness. Now, if you've been convicted of your sin by the Holy Spirit and he leads you in repentance, you won't be convicted as ungodly. But non-Christians will be convicted as ungodly. Their deeds are not only ungodly, but they've committed them in such an ungodly way that they deserve the wrath of God. But you can tell what kind of person they are by their actions and by their words. It's like Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. This is exactly what Jude is saying, that Jesus is going to convict the ungodly because of their bad fruit of ungodly deeds and ungodly words. And then notice what kind of words the ungodly use. The Lord is going to convict them of all the harsh words or things that the ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So again, the punishment fits the crime. God will repay harsh words for a harsh judgment. If they've harshly spoken things against the Lord that are not true, then he is right to be harsh back to them on judgment day. Isaiah 66:4 says, I also will choose harsh treatment for them and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not listen, but they did what was evil in my eyes and chose that in which I did not delight. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God if you are unrepentant, though he's given you time to listen, believe, and repent. He's going to treat you harshly if you refuse and continue to speak harshly against him. Maybe you got pulled over by a policeman for speeding. What you should not do is try to argue with the policeman about how wrong he is for pulling you over. You'll only get yourself in worse trouble. In contrast to that, how should we speak to the Lord? Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. If you've done something wrong and you know you're in trouble, a way to lessen the punishment is to not fight back. But if you know that you've sinned, you need to humble yourself and say, yeah, I'm really sorry that I've sinned. And ask for forgiveness. The Lord is merciful, and he will forgive those who humble themselves under his mighty hand. He will give grace to those who give the soft answer of, Lord, save me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. But for those who continue to speak harshly against God, he's coming to judge them, to convict them, and to condemn them. So this is a message of warning to the ungodly. If he's a good judge, can he just let you go? If you say, Judge, I believe you're good and you're loving, therefore you should just let me go. Well, no, if he's a good judge, he should convict the guilty criminal and see to it that he is punished. So what hope is there that anyone would be saved? Well, only if someone sinless comes into the courtroom and pays the legal punishment on your behalf can you be set free. And that is what Jesus did. He humbled himself. He came down from the throne and humbled himself and lived a perfect life. He was tempted in every way, yet he's without sin. And yet he took the punishment for sins that he didn't commit, sins that you and I committed. He received the wrath of God for us. It pleased the Lord to bruise him because he was a substitutionary sacrifice for us. Jesus willingly gave his life to save us and to give us eternal life. There's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, as it says in 1 Timothy 2:5. So how much more a punishment do you think is coming to those who not only sinned against God and broke his commandments, but are rejecting the only way of salvation, which is Jesus Christ? Today's the day to receive salvation. Turn to the Lord and say, yes, Jesus, I believed you paid my punishment for me. I want that to count on my behalf on judgment day. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins, and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Please tune in next week as we continue to study God's Word, verse by verse.